We welcome you to a special edition of the Emmaus Bible Hour. The subject is Guide to Christian Growth, and your instructor is C. Ernest Tatham, one of the founders of the Emmaus Bible College. Yes, this is a special program of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Gather your family around as we open the Bible and discover what God has to say to us through His Word.
This is your teacher, C. Ernest Tatham, and we're gathered together today for another study in our course, Guide to Christian Growth. And today's session brings us to lesson number 11, and this deals with marriage and the home. Now, there is a scripture that I feel is very worthwhile in this connection that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Rather strange that we should be turning to the Old Testament for some instructions that have to do with the Christian home. But after all, the believing home, whether it was in the twilight of Judaism before the cross or in the full glow of Christianity since the cross, have very much in common, as we shall see. Now let me read Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 through 21. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, it's very significant that we have a phrase like this in the Scriptures, days of heaven upon the earth. I've heard of people talking about hell on earth. The Bible says nothing about hell on earth. But it does say that it's possible for us to have heaven on earth. Now, we're all interested in heaven after we die. But here is a text that tells us that we can have heaven before death. As Spurgeon once said, earth is but the vestibule of hell to an unquiet conscience. But if you hearken to your God, He will make it the porch of heaven. But I want to say that here is something even better than heaven on the porch. It's heaven in our midst. And this phrase applies to the believing home. Now, the home cannot be overestimated in importance. It's God's unit. He established family life before sin came in. Let me repeat that statement. God established family life before sin raised its wicked head. And, of course, it's obvious that no nation is stronger than its homes. Communism and fascism and so on tends to destroy the home, making children the mere states of the law, mere wards of the state. But God would place the responsibility for establishing a Christian home upon the parents, and particularly the believing parents. Now, our manual points out today that marriage, arranged and instituted by God before sin sprang upon into being on this planet, marriage is honorable in all, and it was sanctified as the marriage service says by Christ's presence in the marriage of Cana of Galilee. There was a marriage in Cana, I would remind you, and the mother of Jesus was there, but both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the marriage. That is very interesting, and I often tell young people, believing young people, who are contemplating this great step of marriage, be sure that you include, when you send out the invitations, an invitation to the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples, that He might be glorified in the marriage ceremony. The world usually uses the occasion of a marriage for a great deal of empty frivolity and sometimes downright debauchery. A Christian wedding should be modest. A Christian wedding should be sanctified by the acknowledgement of Christ, the reading of His Word, the addressing of Him in prayer, and a testimony in the gospel, a testimony to the friends who gather. Nothing is more delightful than honoring the Lord in our marriages. Now, I want to read a few more scriptures respecting the duties, the responsibility of husbands to wives and wives to husbands and so on. Because, as you know, we're living in days of very, very loose and unchristian, even anti-Christian standards. We who name the name of Christ, then, have some very definite guides as to the matter of marriage and the home. In our last lesson, we were noticing that the Word of God forbids the believer to marry an unbeliever. Sometimes I've heard young people say, well, I'm praying about this matter when an unconverted partner is involved. I say, my friend, there's no use praying about it. You're only wasting your breath. God has already spoken on this subject and says that our marriage is to be only in the Lord. So for Christians, we're definitely limited. But we're proceeding today on the assumption that both are children of God, and we're desirous to glorify Him and to establish a Christian home. Now then, turning to Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read a few texts. First of all, we have the responsibility of the wife to the husband. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now here is the will of God spelled out very explicitly in respect to the responsibility of the wife. The wife is to recognize in her husband a picture of Christ as the great heavenly bridegroom. And while the husband is to reflect and represent Christ the head, so the wife is to reflect the church as His body. And just as the church is subject to Christ and takes her orders from the head, so the wife is to submit herself unto her own husband as unto the Lord. Now, this is very important. Very important indeed. Underline then, ladies, that word submit. And then, of course, she's to be faithful to her husband. She's to keep her only unto him so long as they both live. And she's to be a comfort to him. She is to be like a fruitful vine at his table, as one of the Psalms puts it. But now, proceeding to the husband, we read in verse 25 of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And then the apostle goes on to amplify this and say men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And just as Christ cherishes and nourishes the church, constantly cares for her, tenderly supports her and supplies her every need, so the husband is to be loving, tender, solicitous toward his wife. It's very interesting to notice, by the way, that the wife is not commanded to love her husband. The husband is commanded to love his wife. I suppose the reason for that lies in the fact that with the woman, affection predominates. With the man, I suppose, under normal circumstances, intelligence and leadership predominate. But with the woman, affection predominates, and hence, it isn't necessary for God to tell the wife to love her husband. She'll do that anyhow. But he does tell some of us hard-hearted, calloused husbands to love our wives. And my brother, if you and I love our wives according to the standard that we have here, then it will not be difficult at all for the wife to submit herself unto her husband. For love delights to submit to love. Now, this is amplified again, almost repeated word for word in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And then, too, there are instructions here concerning the relation of parents to their children and children to the parents. The duty of parents to their children involves loving them, loving the children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to provide for them in temporal things, according to 2 Corinthians 12:14, and to rule and to correct them, and not to provoke them unto wrath. Listen to Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And Ephesians gives the positive side of this when it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then coming to children in Christian homes, what's the word for them? It's found in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And again, Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And I believe that the parent who does not insist on obedience, even at the penalty of corporal punishment, is abdicating his responsibility to the Lord. The Word of God says, he that loveth his son, chasteneth him betimes. And there is time, there's need at times, for the rod of correction and for the inculcating into the young people the necessity for obedience and work and the assuming of responsibility. And these good old-fashioned qualities will produce in the children a ruggedness of Christian character which will pay off with tremendous dividends in days to come.